listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
I was a wandering sheep. I did not love the fold. I did not love my shepherd's voice. I would not be controlled. I was a wayward child. I did not love my home. I did not love my father's voice. I loved afar to roam. This is true of every one of us before God stops us, before He calls us. It was true of David when he was in a horrible pit, a place he chose to be, but couldn't get out without the grace of God. It was true of Paul until he was stopped by the Lord Jesus. Yes, listen to the third stanza. Jesus my shepherd is, 'twas he that loved my soul, 'twas he that washed me in his blood, 'twas he that made me whole, 'twas he that sought the lost, that found the wandering sheep. 'Twas he that brought me to the fold. 'Tis he that still doth keep. Horatius Bonar, true picture of salvation in Christ. Please join with me in the wonderful privilege that we have of reading God's Word, a Word that came from heaven by the leading of the Holy Spirit, leading Paul to write to this church at Corinth. Listen to those words as we find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we give thanks that these words are spoken to us, that they come from thy glorious throne on high, that they come from him as well who is on thy right hand, making intercession for the church, of which he has already paid the price of their sin, paid it with his own blood, that now, Father, even according to his promise, has sent the Holy Spirit, that churches might be built through the preaching of the word, through the hearing of the word, through the believing of the word. And we give thanks, Father, that we can also have this blessing of reading thy word, and for those who can hear it being read, some possibly not having the scriptures themselves. We pray, Father, that through the preaching of the word, even today, that many might be saved, that many might experience thy power promised in it, the power that comes through and because of Christ. And we ask in his name for the Holy Spirit to be given to many that have never had his work before. We pray that he might again be given in the church, where the church has grieved thy spirit, and where he is either quenched or well nigh quenched. We think of thy letter, Lord Jesus, to one of the seven churches at Asia, to strengthen the things that remain. And we pray that we might be able to strengthen the things that remain today as well, that there might be revival, that there might be, as thou hast told us in thy word, and again through the pen of Paul, to awake thou that sleepest. It says, high time to wake from sleep. And all these warnings that we have of our sleepiness, of our slothfulness, of our lukewarmness, of our pride in the midst of it all, we pray, Father, that there might be a mighty power of thy Spirit given, that we will be brought to repentance, and our trust will alone be in thee through Christ, that we might know that alone we are to glory in the cross of Christ, and in thee who gave him, who hung on that cross, even as we read, that as it is written, and thou dost tell us many times throughout thy word, that he that glorieth, that we are to glory in thee, the Lord, the only Lord, the only God, the only true God. And we pray now, Father, for that blessed knowledge to be made known to many, to those who are still in foolishness, to those that have the fear of thee, which is the beginning of wisdom, that they might be brought into thy kingdom, those that know they are without know they are sinning. Those that may be crying out as the publican did, God be merciful to me, a sinner. We pray that they might, even in their house and wherever they are today, be justified by thee because of Christ. We pray for other needs that there are as well, the needs in the homes, the many broken homes. We pray that thou wilt heal them, that thou wilt bring reconciliation, that thou wilt teach the church how to teach in the home and of the home. We pray for those in sickness and injury. Pray for those in older age, those in hunger, those homeless, those in war-torn lands. Father, the many in suffering, and especially those who are persecuted for thy name's sake, we pray that thou wilt look on all of us through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. We have here wonderful words of life, as we have sung sometimes. Listen again to verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. It is a perfect word that is preached. It is the death and resurrection of Christ that is preached. He did hang on that cross. He was taken down from that cross. He was buried and he rose again. After hanging there, shedding his blood, his body being broken, and he's saying, it is finished. That needs to be preached. He did that for sinners like you and I. It remains foolishness to those that perish, to those that have not been stopped by the Holy Spirit as well as by the Word, those that are still in hardness of heart and pride, some that may even realize it but don't care, love sin more than God, are opposing themselves, going on in their foolish and wicked ways. Others, like the Jews, having much knowledge and thinking they are right with God by their own works, or, as Paul writes in Romans 10, they going about to establish their own righteousness. And many do that. I know that firsthand. I did that too many years of my life. And then the cross, especially as it's to be preached from the Word of God alone, and in the setting of all of the Word of God, it is foolishness. Even though we might historically believe it to have happened, it still is often, in its application, foolishness to us. But, as Paul writes in the rest of that verse, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. It is just exactly that. The power of God. The power to stop us. The power to awaken us. The power to bring us to repentance, to humble us. And then the power to do as Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, to make us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, what a blessed power. We don't welcome it in its beginning, but how we are made to know the need of that power after we have been convicted by the Holy Spirit, after we have been reproved of sin and righteousness and judgment, and particularly of sin because we have not believed on Christ. And when we know that, when we know we are going to hell because of our sin, we are going to hell if we don't have Christ, then what a blessing it is to be saved. And to be able to say with Paul, it is the power of God. Not my power, not yours, but that which comes alone from God. And that's why, as the last verse of this chapter states, that him that glorieth, glory in the Lord. Paul goes on to explain that further in the next verses. For it is written. Much of what Paul writes has been written before. Much of what he states, he knows from the Old Testament, from the prophets. And that's certainly what he can say here when he says, for it is written. Isaiah had written that before in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14. It is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. There were many learned in Israel, There were many learned in the time of Isaiah, the time of Jeremiah. The people said that the word would not perish from the priest, nor from the prophet, but it had. It had. They lost it. The blessing of the Lord was no longer even in the temple. Listen to the words of Jeremiah as he had to speak them in the gate of the Lord's house. Look at Jeremiah chapter 7. God said to him, "Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, Hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter into these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Trust ye not in lying words, saying, The temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. For if ye thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if ye thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if ye oppress not the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, and shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers, forever and ever. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit." Yes, God says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise." They thought because they were priests, because they were Levites, because they were scribes, because they had learned some things, that they were truly wise. But God says, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise," the wisdom of human learning, that without the Spirit is only to be destroyed. The Lord Jesus said to Nicodemus, a man who was a ruler, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And when Nicodemus struggled with these things and asked, "How can they be?" the Lord Jesus had to say, "Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things?" Yes, one can be a doctor of divinity. One can have his master's degree. One can have much learning, but still be in the end destroyed. For it is written once by Isaiah, written again by Paul, all coming from God, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Oh, how many ministers there are that say, "We have the authority. We are the church." But do not bow to the word of God. Do not submit to what God has said, what he has said through the prophets, what he has said especially through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, all of the wisdom of the wise is going to be destroyed if it is not under this heading, "For it is written." God gave this word to be believed, every word of it, even to the extent as Isaiah said, or God said through the pen of Isaiah, speaking in the first person, "To this man will I look." God from heaven looking down. "To him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." Is the scripture only something to be trembled at? No, not at all. Why should we then tremble? Why should we tremble at the gospel? Why should we tremble at the good news? Not because of the message itself, but we should tremble, asking ourselves, "Do I know it? Do I have it? Have I truly been taught of God? Have I learned it? Have I been given it by God? Are the promises mine? Is the gospel mine? That's what we need to tremble at, lest we come short both of the glory of God, and wherever we have received the word rightly, it will be to God's glory, but also to the saving of our soul. Listen to what Paul wrote to the Hebrews, the Hebrew Christians. He also, in writing to them, used much of their history. He spoke of that in Hebrews chapter 3. The end of that chapter would, so we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. They were wise. They thought they were wiser than Moses. They thought they were wiser than God. At one time, the people that had been delivered out of Egypt by God's mighty works wanted to appoint another leader and go back. But what took place? We just read. They could not enter in because of unbelief. Though they were brought out of Egypt, they died in the wilderness because they did not have faith to believe in God and through that faith enter into Canaan. All the older ones died. God taught the younger ones and brought them into the land of Canaan, brought them across Jordan, brought them around Jericho, saw the walls simply fall down by marching around it, gave them victory over the wickedness of the people. But the older generation that had not believed God, their carcasses fell in the wilderness, as we can read in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17. But then listen to verse 2 of chapter 4, or verse 1 rather. Let us therefore fear. Yes, God said to this man, will I look, who is poor and of a contrite heart, and trembleth at my word? Here's what Paul said, let us therefore fear. Not concern the word itself, but lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into his rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Through it all, a number of times, Paul writes in these chapters, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Don't trust in your own learning. I remember when I used to try to figure it all out, when I thought I had it all figured out, even taking the scriptures to prove my point. The end of it was, God showed me I was lost. He showed me that except I was born again, I would not see or enter into the kingdom of God. After thinking I knew so much, even speaking to one person, he says, you're thinking. When my thinking was perverted, my thinking was still in rebellion against God. Oh, how true it is and how much we must learn it in experience by the teaching of the Word and by the blessing of the Holy Spirit. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The Lord Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. God has his way. We read of it in verse 18, and we read of it again here in the last part of verse 21. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. While we are in a perishing state, while we are still in unbelief,
before the Holy Spirit has opened our eyes, our ears, and our heart. We think it's foolishness. We think we know more. When we don't know anything without the supernatural, without the spiritual teaching of God. Think again of those words. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see it as it's spoken of in Scripture. He cannot see it as it is in those who believe. He cannot see it and will not receive it when it is truly preached to those that perish. It is foolishness. I can remember when I sat and I thought, well, when they have something better to say, I'll listen. Not wanting to know the whole counsel of God. Thinking I knew it. And many, sadly, learned and unlearned. All will have their knowledge destroyed. That's what God tells us. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. And you can find that pride, the wisdom of the wise, everywhere. It is in the pulpit. It is in the pew. You can go to the jails and find people there that think they know more than anybody else. In the prisons, every place. The atheist thinks it. The agnostic thinks it. The preacher thinks it. The professing Christian thinks it. But we must all come to one place to be taught of God. As the Lord Jesus said, it is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of the Father, and those that are taught of the Father come to me. And how do we come? We come by the call of the gospel. We come by the preaching of the cross. The preaching of one who had to die in my place and your place. Did he die for you? Do you know that? Did he rise again for your justification? Is he in heaven interceding for you? Or does he still see you in foolishness? Join us next week.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise